Danny Lakey Late Show.
I had a week off and I just got back and great time had over the sneaky 1 week break. Couldn't help but indulge a couple of nights. Living my best life with a seafood platter right down by the bay.
It's very expensive.
Yes, it is, but I'm a classy man, Shoey Louie.
What did that set you back? 120?
Well, it was a seafood platter for one, so it was $40. It was a good deal. Just looking over the bay there, and I ordered the seafood platter. Waiter came, took the order. Comes back about 5 minutes later, says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I hate to say this to you, but we're unfortunately out of oysters." I said, "Oh, okay. No oysters." He said, "Yeah, I'm terribly sorry. Can we put something else in the seafood platter for you? It comes with oysters, obviously, and there's no oysters left. Can we put something else? And we've got your mussels, your scallops, all your standards, your salt and pepper calamari, your Moreton Bay bugs." He said, "I'm incredibly sorry." I said, "No worries, just chuck a couple more Moreton Bay bugs on. That's great. Love Moreton Bay bugs." He's like, I'm so incredibly sorry. I said, "Mate, it's fine. It's absolutely fine." And you know what he does? He looks at me, he says, "Oh no, but it's just, the thing is, that's the best part of a seafood platter, isn't it?
The oyster."
The oyster. And I thought, well, it may be the most expensive part of a seafood platter, but don't speak on behalf of my taste buds, mate. I don't think that is. And then I thought, hang on a second, if he's in the trenches serving seafood platters all day and he's under that impression, I'm under the impression that the Moreton Bay bugs are the centrepiece. All of a sudden, you're probably over there thinking there's something else that needs to be on a seafood platter.
Sashimi's obviously number one.
Yeah, see? Sashimi for days for you.
Yeah.
You won that right in the centre. Got us thinking. 13, 10, 60. Probably best we hold our own seafood Olympics to figure out who's the true king of the seafood plate.
Calling all people. It's time to vote on the best thing to have on a seafood platter. Olympics. What is Australia's favourite thing to have on a seafood platter?
The world depends on the outcome of this game.
Seafood Olympics, we've done this with a couple of foods now. Great way to find out what the nation really is thinking, to get to the heart of what clearly is the strongest in its field. Tonight, the seafood platter. The animals of the sea, the farm that's under the water, the food so good that even some vegetarians say, you know what, we'll let that slide. It's so tasty, I may give up my morals and have some of this as well. We put a couple on the Instagram page to kick it off tonight, where we've got the 16 most popular seafood items that would be found on a seafood platter, pitting them against each other until we get it down to the final two.
The first one we put on Instagram, the anchovy versus sashimi.
Wow. Oh, wow. So yeah. Your heart lies deep in sashimi here.
I mean, this was a tough one for me. If the sashimi had not gone through, tears. So we've got the anchovy, 20%. The sashimi, 80%.
Oh, there we go.
Thank God. Sorry, but there's no comparing those two.
And Australia has managed to weed out the weakest link there. I'm glad to see the sashimi through to the quarterfinals. I believe we also had the fish finger taking on the marinated octopus.
We did. Now, the octopus at 40% and the fish finger at 60%.
Wow.
Which is because it's very different taste buds, you know, like the octopus when you're feeling a bit more gourmet, but then you can't go wrong a classic fish finger.
That's true. Look, we'll bash through a couple more here. We've got the oyster, in brackets natural, taking on the mussel. Look, I'm going to have to say, the oyster, it's probably going to have to go through to the quarterfinals,
yes,
isn't it? As much as I love a mussel,
no.
You pit it against the oyster, you go an oyster, scooping out with a bit of lemon and salt every day of the week. May I ask you, lady, in the fairest seafood democracy of all time, to vote between the scallop and the smoked salmon?
That's tough, Lakey.
Real tough.
God, I love them both so much.
There's going to be tears along the way here. There's a lot of great seafoods around the country. We know this.
Look, I think I'm going to have to go with my roots, the smoked salmon.
Whoa, wow.
That was tough, but I do love me some salmon.
That's a go. All right. Shy Guy, it is the biggest seafood democracy. You will also get a say. It is up to you to decide the superior bit of a seafood platter out of a beer-battered fish and a crab stick.
I was pausing for suspense. It's the beer battered fish, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course. God. That's the only thing the Shy Guy will touch on a seafood platter.
No, if he goes to the fish and chip shop, it's only that.
Absolutely.
Let's take some calls. Ali in Sydney on 131060. Hello.
Hi.
Strong seafood aficionado, I'm sure. Don't take this decision lightly. You are tasked at deciding the superior seafood product out of the prawn cutlet and the lobster slash crayfish. Yes, they're both bundled together tonight.
Oh, easy choice, lobster.
Wow, yeah.
Wow,
one of the big seeds.
Definitely would have gone prawn cutlet.
Sometimes price is going to have a factor. I know it's
expensive
predominantly
taste.
About taste, but you have expensive to include taste. The price tag in there as well. The lobster slash crayfish is through to the next round. Thank you, Ali. Tim in Brisbane.
Hello.
Fresh prawn or salt and pepper calamari. One of these is going through to the quarterfinal.
Salt and pepper calamari.
Yeah, he's so flustered he can't even say the word calamari, but we've got the message. Thank
the
you,
calamani.
Tim. One of the great connoisseurs of the seafood. Tim in Brisbane, wrap up the final round of 16 match. We've got oysters in brackets. Kilpatrick.
Wilbur.
Oh, sorry, Wilbur. Wilbur.
Yeah, what is you liking?
Yeah, oysters, Kilpatrick, or the Moreton Bay Bug?
Oh, you got to have to go the Moreton Bay Bug.
Whoa, thank God.
Now,
they're gone.
I've never heard of a Moreton Bay bug.
Listen, slam a bug. We're down here in Tassie, we call it slamming a bug.
Sounds horrific.
Great. Thank you, Wilbur. The slam bug, the Moreton Bay bug, whatever you want, it's into the quarterfinals. Hey, 13-10-60. Next, we will have the oyster taking on the smoked salmon, the beer-battered fish taking on the crab stick, the fish finger taking on the lobster slash crayfish, the salt and pepper calamari. Taking on the Moreton Bay Bug. You want to get involved in seafood's biggest democracy, figuring out the best on a seafood platter. Calls next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time to vote. What is Australia's favourite thing to have on a seafood platter?
Never has the country been on tenderhooks more. Understanding the centrepiece of the seafood platter. Because it seems there would be confusion amongst the ranks, cafes, restaurants, waiters, waitresses, confused alike, trying to figure out what to put in the centre of the seafood platter. What's the piece? What is everyone actually coming for?
Well, I know mine.
The sash.
The sashimi.
The sash!
The sash!
See, I wouldn't even look twice at the sash.
Really?
That's why you and me would probably be good seafood platter partners.
Yeah.
Because I'd say, hey, you take the sash. Give me the marinated octopus.
Oh, you see, I'd maybe have a dabble, a small pack of that, but no, you can take that octopus.
We are getting to the bottom of Australia's favourite piece of a seafood platter, the quarterfinals between the oyster and the smoked salmon, the beer-battered fish and the sashimi, the fish finger and the lobster slash crayfish, and the salt and pepper calamari taking on the Moreton Bay Bug. What's very clear here is that we've got five very expensive seafoods still in the mix and three that come in a variety of coatings, whether that be batters or breadcrumbs. I can't help but also notice that both of the prawn numbers were eliminated in the round of 16.
That's
something no one saw coming. And the oysters, Kilpatrick, left behind at the altar. Not a fan of the barbecue sauce and bacon on a bit of seafood. Emily in Melbourne, welcome to the quarterfinals of the Seafood Platter Olympics. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. A little bit nervous, obviously. I mean, it's only natural in this late stage of the competition. I shall ask you to cast your vote. The superior seafood product out of the oyster and the smoked salmon. Which has more worth on a seafood platter?
Smoked salmon, 100%.
Whoa.
Yes, girl.
It's a clear, concise answer, and that's what we like. No umming and ahhing. Thank
smoked
you.
Smoked salmon goes with a lot more as well. You
it
know,
is
it could
true.
Be in a salad, could be on a platter.
And this is invaluable information for chefs and restaurant owners around the country. All of a sudden, they're going, hang on a second, why are we blowing all our budget on these bloody oysters? People don't, just chuck one. Chuck one on the side. Fill it with sash and smoked. Beer battered fish taking on sashimi in the second quarter final. And Aaron in Canberra, you are tasked with the decision. What will it be?
It's going to be beer battered fish.
Oh, oh my whoa. God, Aaron!
Whoa, first heartbreak of the competition.
Have some class, would you?
Easy there, Schuster. The beer battered fish reigns supreme over the sashimi. Look, different upbringings.
Not happy.
Shuey Louie is a classy lady who likes to indulge in smoked salmon. Aaron's more a salt the earth kind of guy. And once his basic beer battered fish. I appreciate it, Aaron. We respect the decision and it will move through to the semi final. Holly in Brisbane, you are tasked with the fish finger. Taking on the lobster. some would say a very mismatched quarterfinal, but upsets have happened. Stranger things have happened in the competition, Holly. What will it be?
Definitely the lobster.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Sayonara, fish finger.
Everyone's got a price tag. And to be honest, the fish finger, I felt, may have been a little out of its depth
100%.
In the quarterfinal there. Holly, thank you. Final vote in the quarterfinals. Kylie in Campbelltown. Hello.
Hey, Hello, how are you going?
Good, thank you. It is up to you to separate the salt and pepper calamari and the Moreton Bay bug. Which has more worth on a seafood platter?
Oh, you probably hate me for this, but I'm going the salt and pepper calamari.
Wow. Yes. I can't say it blindsided me, though. Can't say it blindsided me. I respect the decision. This is what the seafood democracy is all about. Salt and pepper calamari going through to the semi-finals. We've got smoked salmon taking on the beer-battered fish and the lobster slash crayfish taking on the salt and pepper calamari. A big semi-final. Ro, in Melbourne, you're tasked with that decision. What will be going through to the grand final next? Smoked salmon or the beer-battered fish?
Got to be smoked salmon.
Whoa. Big call. Big call. I thought he was a beer-battered fish kind of guy, but it's through to the final. Thank you, Ro.
No worries.
Man, a few words. With one final call coming through here, we will find out who is taking on the smoked salmon in the grand final of the Seafood Platter Olympics next. Task for the decision, Taya in Ipswich. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Real high stakes stuff here. The lobster slash crayfish taking on the salt and pepper calamari. Dare I say lightly dusted with a serving pot of aioli. We must be specific before Taya makes her vote tonight. Who will be taking on the smoked salmon in the grand final of the Seafood Platter Olympics next?
Has to be the salt and pepper calamari.
Whoa!
Yes! God, this is a very, very tight final.
Absolutely. The smoked salmon taking on the salt and pepper calamari. We call upon the finest seafood connoisseurs in the country to call 131060 right now. We will be casting our votes next. In the grand final of the Seafood Platter Olympics, which has more worth on a seafood platter, the smoked salmon or the salt and pepper calamari? History and answers next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time to vote. What is Australia's favourite thing to have on a seafood platter?
16 whittled down to 2. The most popular piece of seafood on a seafood platter. The Seafood Platter Olympics. Not only does Australia deserve an answer, the hardworking chefs and hospitality workers around the country need to know, what do customers really want on a seafood plate? The final about to take place, the grand final between the smoked salmon and the salt and pepper calamari. It's a final that I have to say didn't see coming. The salt and pepper calamari, dare I say the workers class, the working class entree, who's battle tough to get to the end, and the smoked salmon, a very aristocratic choice from the listeners. Dare I say, the majority of seafood platters around this great nation don't even entertain the thought of having smoked salmon on the plate.
No, it's more
it's
of
not
like
one of the
a,
big eight.
It's more of like a cheese board kind of, you know, vibe, or in a salad now at your local cat.
Menus will be readjusted around the country pending tonight's results. The smoked salmon beat the scallop in the round of 16. It took on the oyster in the quarterfinal. Tough battle with the beer batter fish deserves to get to the grand finale. The salt and pepper calamari knocked off the fresh prawn in a big upset in the round of 16. Worked hard to beat the Moreton Bay bug and the lobster. This is a seafood that has been batting well out of its weight class.
Huge.
Deserves to be here. Best of 5 votes. Judges ruling final. Australia's biggest seafood democracy. Shoey Louie. Kick it off. Where do your alliances lie? The aristocratic smoked salmon or the working class salt and pepper calamari? Lightly dusted with a small pot of aioli.
Well, this is hard because they're both absolutely divine.
They are.
But I'm going to have to be loyal to the smoked salmon.
Whoa. Didn't see it going there. 1 point to smoked salmon. For me, as much as I love smoked salmon, the key word here is the Seafood Platter Olympics. Smoked salmon for me doesn't need to be on the platter. I'm getting me smoked salmon fix alongside my eggs Benedict. It's a different game. Smoked salmon for breakfast. Salt and pepper calamari for lunch and dinner. Salt and pepper. S&P okay. Cal. 1 vote each. Sarah in Newcastle. Vote number 3. The smoked salmon or the salt and pepper calamari?
Smoked salmon.
Yes.
Whoa. Big swing vote. Big smoky swing vote. Thank you, Sarah. John, in Melbourne, the smoked salmon or the salt and pepper calamari? John.
John boy.
J-man.
Jezza.
Slippery J.
The big J.
Jay, who is so silly, is listening to his radio on delay, even though he would have been told on the phones not to do that. I'm lowering his fader down. I don't want this man part of the democracy.
God.
No, you know what? Every Australian gets a vote. No, I think we should cut off the dumbest 10% and not give them a vote, to be honest.
Give Big J a break. Oh, look, he's
Big J's accidentally pressed the red button on his phone. Bailey in Toowoomba. Hello.
Hello.
Smoked salmon or salt and pepper calamari. It can be taken out right here, right now, or it can be forced to a final fifth vote. What is more worthy of going on the seafood platter in the Seafood Platter Olympics?
100% smoked salmon.
Whoa!
Yes!
Never saw it coming. One of the great
King
seafood
of the
twists.
Platter.
What a fishy result. 3-1 in the end for the smoked salmon. Easily accounting for what I thought was the nation's favourite, salt and pepper calamari. Menus being adjusted around the country. Never did I expect to see smoked salmon after all of that. Absolutely huge. Well done to our rustic pink friend.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Bunnings underpays workers for nearly 10 years. Whoa, it's a lot of years, Bunnings.
How did they do that?
System error. System error. Computer error. No one checked the accounting. No one cooked the books.
Focusing on too many of those sausage sizzles they're having.
Absolutely. We're too busy counting the dollars and cents in gold coin donation out the front.
Mm-hmm.
To worry about the workers, the guys on the front line. There's some audio here. I haven't listened to it, but I assume it will cross the basic details of the situation.
Bunnings Warehouse is the latest Australian company to be caught underpaying staff, with a hardware giant blaming a payroll system error.
There we go. How good was I with me facts?
The blame game, eh?
They say it started in 2011 and spanned an 8-year period and affected part-time staff.
There we go. That's all the information you need to know. These things are far too common in the industry. Remember old Georgie C? George Colombaris and his restaurant.
He was underpaying his chefs.
Yeah, that was terrible for his PR. Rebel Sport have been through the same thing recently as well, as did Sunglass Hut.
It's a big company.
Mm-hmm. Always check your pay slips, guys. Always make sure you're getting your money's worth. And Bunnings have released an advert off the back of this. Great PR by them to get on the front foot, I must confess.
Here at Bunnings Warehouse, we believe in the lowest prices every day, and they pass on these low prices to all of us employees as well.
Extra pay we award for our part-timers who work public holidays. Just 40 cents. 16-year-old spotty teenage boy who just scored their first weekend job. Hourly rate of $5.50. Superannuation being paid fortnightly into designated super funds for our gardening section team members. Now down to $18 per annum. If you find a company paying lower wages, we'll beat it by 10%.
For some reason, I can't afford my groceries or my rent despite working 48 hours per week. Times are so tough, I've had to pick up evening work as a dishy at one of George Colombaris' restaurants.
Lowest wages are just the beginning.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Right now, though, how's this? More than 1 million people in the UK are named after a Disney character. Whoa!
1 million!
Quite the statistic.
That seems like a very large number to me, Lakey.
Well, it does seem like a large number. So large that it lured me in to click on the headline and read a little more. And it reads the following. If you've been keeping an eye on the most popular baby names for 2019, it seems that there's still a big preference for baby-inspired Disney names. Okay. Research revealed that names taken from animated classics such as Toy Story, The Hunchback of Notre Dame and Beauty and the Beast have rocketed in popularity since the turn of the last decade. Okay, so Toy Story, what? You got your Woody, your Buzz, Rex.
Jesse.
Oh, Jesse, there you go. That's a good one.
Potato Head.
Yeah, maybe. Hunchback of Notre Dame, Quasimodo. No, it must be the Esmeralda side of that. Beauty and the Beast.
Beast.
Probably Belle.
Yeah.
Those most keen to keep their to name their child after a Disney character were 18 to 34 year old parents to be, with 3 in 10 being pro Disney. So the most popular Disney names overall are Jasmine.
Yep.
Okay. Inspired by Princess Jasmine, and then Belle, inspired by Beauty and the Beast. Okay, hang on a sec. I would like to then know, dig a little bit further, study and figure out how many Jasmines are named after Jasmine from Aladdin, and how many Jasmines are just named Jasmine because they like the name Jasmine.
Quite a common name.
Bit of fake news I smell.
You are fake news.
Coming in top 10, Jasmine, Rex. No one's naming their baby Rex because of the dinosaur from Toy Story. Belle, Jessie, there you go. Oh, here we go, number 5, Minnie from Steamboat Willie in 1928. No one is naming their child off Steamboat Willie from 1928. Tiana from Princess and the Frog. Come on, you can see what they've done here. You can
see what they've done. There's absolutely no way you're calling your kid after Princess and the Frog. Shit film.
Elsa, Woody, Ariel, Nala. Rowdy. Oh, come on, Nala.
Are people really calling their kid Nala?
I mean, what can you believe in this article anymore? No trustworthy source whatsoever. Look, 131060, is there any of this shenanigan going on in Australia we got thinking? Give us a bell if you're named after a Disney film.
Do you have a Disney name?
Disney name.
Now, look, it's fair enough if you're named after coincidentally something in a Disney film. But I'd love to get to the crux of, oh, yes, no, I am called Nala, after The Lion King.
Yeah, your parents must have been huge fans, if that's the case.
Something along those lines. Maybe an Esmeralda or two. But
Pocahontas?
Well, Pocahontas would be great. If I can get a Pocahontas or a Pinocchio, did I? Oh, we're already one. Sarah in Newcastle, your daughter's called Jasmine, right?
Yeah.
Now, Scout's honour, hand on heart, you look at me in the eye and say whether you named your daughter Jasmine after Jasmine from Aladdin.
100%. I love Disney.
Oh.
Cute.
Okay.
Well, you've won the battle, but you've lost the war, madam.
All right, 131060. Can we get crazier than Jasmine? Fiona in Canberra. Your daughter's named after a Disney film name.
Yep, so I had a daughter 18 years ago this week. Like, this week she just turned 18, and I had a real thing for Lion King. So Lion King number 2, Simba had a daughter named Kiara, so I called my daughter Kiara after Simba's daughter.
Okay.
Don't mind the name.
Yeah, and one of the lesser-known Disney films as well, so you're not doing it for the fame. You're not riding on the coattails of Simba or Nala. You're going real niche.
Mufasa.
No, I couldn't call a kid Mufasa. No offense.
You couldn't do that at all. Coming in at number 11 here is Jafar from Aladdin. Imagine calling your kid Jafar.
Which one's Jafar, the monkey?
The evil one.
Oh.
The evil guy with his little goatee.
You wouldn't be doing that.
Try to trap Princess Jasmine in that little hourglass. The weird uncle.
That turned out to be the school bully.
Absolutely. Roberta in Brisbane. Hello.
Hello.
What'd you name your kid, Dumbo?
It's not actually me. My brother named his daughter Ariel after the Little Mermaid, and her middle name is Belle after the Beauty and the Beast princess.
Now, this Double is a classic winning. Case where I suspect that there is just a crossover in names. Did he really? It's not a very alpha thing to do, to sit down, watch a couple of Disney movies. Hey, honey, just had an idea. Look at her beautiful bosoms in those seashell bikinis. Ariel, we should call her.
Ariel is his favourite Disney princess.
Wow. Okay, fair enough.
Belle closely followed second.
Yeah. Daddy's little Disney princess, Ariel Belle. Fair enough.
Yep.
Casey, in yas. What did you call your daughter? Or son?
Daughter.
You call your son Bambi. Daughter?
No, Bambi.
Huh? Called your daughter Bambi.
Don't mind that. It's quite cute. Little Bambi.
Too abrasive off the tongue for me. It hits me ears real hard.
Casey's daughter.
Well, I don't know her. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm just saying it how I hear it in my brain. But it's obviously a different set of circumstances and reality for you. Congrats. Mary in Cairns. Hello.
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 Yep.
Your sister's got a couple of kids named after Disney movies.
Yes. Unfortunately, she had 4 boys and I don't know what was running through her head, but she named them Spartacus, Caesar, Hercules, and the last one was called Legend.
Oh, dear me. I mean, started out quite noble and now grabbing at straws in the end. Legend.
Legend. Yeah. There's a little boy running around called Legend.
You'd want him to be cool, wouldn't you? You really want him to be one of the great alphas.
I pity those children.
I absolutely pity those children.
Legend.
Pregnant with 2 more on the way, Steamboat and Willie, perhaps.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Right around the country it is, the Danny Lakey Late Show. Oh, my God.
This year, we've interviewed some of the biggest names in the world.
Is that Kevin Hart? How's things?
I'm good, man. How are you?
We are picking duck.
I used to get the Filet-O-Fishes.
Big Mac.
And we're in the place.
Veronica's, and we're hanging out on the
Danny Lakey Late Show.
Hi, this is Rove.
G'day, this is comedian Merrick Watts.
Hey, this is Pinyao.
Hi, it's Dr. Nikki.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Late Show.
Late Show. Late Show.
And now, this could be our biggest celeb yet. He's been on TV. He's verified on Instagram. He's even dabbled in singing. Please welcome to the Danny Lakey Late Show, NASA.
You know, NASA Sultan from Married at First Sight last year. Has eco bags? Verified on Twitter? Nope, not ringing any bells. Well, we talk about him on the show, so here's a few things that Lakey's said about him over the months that NASA should definitely hear.
Someone who kicks up a stink when they don't have the blue tick on Instagram. Someone who I know on good measure who has offered to pay someone to be in a fake D-list celebrity relationship.
And he's even trying to piggyback on the new season of Married at First Sight.
The bizarre moment, NASA Sultan, the person off Married at First Sight Season 5, is escorted off by security after crashing the first wedding of the new season of Married at First Sight.
Where are you stumbling with a pair of binoculars, Jeff? Why are you carrying binoculars around if you've stumbled across this? You weirdo. And recently, during The Bachelor, he slid into someone's DMs.
And we had Sagan from The Bachelor in, and we played this game where I could go through her DMs. Guess who was there front and square? The great Sultan Banco himself.
And as always, if there's one more thing Lakey could say about NASA, it's this.
Let it go, old man. Let it go.
We hope you learned something, because NASA clearly isn't.
NASA.
Wow. He's here. He's here.
He's in studio.
He's here. That's all I'll say.
It's taken a long, long time of begging. You tried to bribe me. You tried to send your people to stalk me. And I'm like, okay, look, give this guy a chance. I mean, I'm not like Australia's biggest celebrity, which I've changed now to Australia's most lovable celebrity.
Oh, I don't know about
that. Is that your tagline?
I don't know about that. No, I find you a little infuriating. a little hard on the eyes and the ears, honest, NASA.
If you had cameras here, I mean, look.
We do have cameras here. There are more cameras here.
Look how good looking, please.
There we
go.
Zoom
in.
I mean, it is a little bit awkward because Sagan only came in a few weeks ago. How long have you been with your missus for, who's actually in studio at the moment?
Well, it's this year.
Why are you sliding into ex-Bachelor contestants' DMs if you've got a missus?
Well, the thing is that if I do that, and that's how I thought, if all the other girls can pretend they're dating other guys from other shows to get stories, I thought, why not NASA can do this? I can just get a photo with someone from The Bachelor or someone from The Block, and then I can make a story out of it and say, NASA's sleeping with blah, blah, blah.
So you're not afraid to pay some D-grade celebrities to get a couple of pap snaps and have a rumoured relationship?
Not. Of course not. That's what it's all about. I mean,
no, seriously. It's not.
Read. New idea. Read Women's Day. I mean, it's all about that.
Okay. Let's go through a couple of audio grabs here. So this is NASA Sultan and his new single, Blue Tick, featuring Five Sauce.
Yeah. Taylor's got it. You know I want it. Get in my life.
Oh.
I'm just an old man ready.
Real double threat there. Real double threat.
Who made that?
I made it together, and I got a friend to put the music in the background.
Oh, I was going
to
say, because it says here, featuring Five Sauce, that sort of gives the illusion that you've been working with Five Sauce on something, but no, you just used their music.
No, I just used them.
Oh,
music.
I see.
Used their music.
I wonder why it only had 892 likes. Yeah. I thought, geez, that's really underrated, the Five Sauce boys. Oh, I get it. In New Zealand, promoting a Channel 7 TV show. Let's have a listen to this.
Well, just landed in New Zealand. What a week it's been. Last week I did a filming for Channel 7, which will be out in August, and then I'm whizzed away to New Zealand, just landed today.
But this was earlier in the year, and August has passed. Mm. So what was that TV show in August?
I applied for Married at First Sight New Zealand, and I went over there to do some interviews.
See, but
I didn't get on it.
Audition for a TV show. We can't just be saying that we're going to be on TV all of a sudden.
Yeah, but at least they sort
of... It's another lie.
At least they got me over there. So that's the main thing. At least,
why would you want to go on maths twice?
Yeah, don't you hate maths?
Yeah. Well, the New Zealand one's a bit more sort of organic. I thought they were. It is a bit more organic, a bit more sort of the girls... weren't as puffy as the Australian ones.
Is it more organic, Shuey Louie? Because you're from New Zealand. You
I wouldn't
have seen
say it's
that.
More organic. Fat. There's still a lot of drama and a
yeah,
lot
but not
of
as much as the Australian ones. I mean, if you look
least
at...
Least Botox, if that's what you mean.
Least Botox. And there's sort of more country girls, I found, anyway.
Okay, well, it doesn't really matter because you're not on the show anyway. It's weird that you don't seem to like Married at First Sight, even though you were on Married at First Sight, because... We talked a couple of weeks ago that you were spotted by the Daily Mail paparazzi spying on the new season of Married at First Sight, and you were yelling out bogan scum to them.
Talk us through this.
Okay, what happened?
What's going on?
What's
going on here? What's it? Is this one of your fans or something? Have you got this guy in? Look at this guy.
Oh, I'm not sure.
There is someone outside the radio studio taking a selfie with him and trying to get NASA in the background. This has never happened before. He's taking a selfie. You get that a lot? You get that a lot, NASA?
I get that heaps.
Yeah, so he's just the audio producer. We told him to do that.
Oh, damn, I got excited then.
Did you have?
Bastards. God. So what happened? I'm driving down to Bondi past that Swiss hotel on Campbell Parade, and I see this massive limousine pull out of the hotel, and I'm like, hang on a minute. Today's Tuesday. It's a bit cloudy. Who gets married on a Tuesday unless you're a tight ass? You don't get married on a Tuesday. So I thought, I'll wait. So I waited, and it was... and I saw the cameras there and I thought, Married at First Sight. The security said, mate, you can't be here. Yep. This is a private. I'm going, come on. I was on last year's. What are you talking about? Anyway, sneaked up through the bushes, sat in the bushes and just happened to have a pair of binoculars in my car.
Yeah,
sat.
Why? Why is that the case?
Well, you know, to look at the surf. You know, I mean, to look at the waves. I mean, you know, if I'm in the mountain somewhere, I want to look at the other mountain.
I understand, you know what I mean? If you're on top of Uluru and you want to see the swell in Sydney.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, I can't see this. And like the trees were in the way. So I got the pair of binoculars and just happened that bloody Daily Mail took photos and said NASA was peeping through.
Here's my theory. You orchestrated that whole thing, tipped off a couple of Daily Mails. Had your binoculars ready to go, said the bogan scum stuff because otherwise they're not going to write about it.
Well,
that how it works? Is that how you get the press? You got to tip them off.
Well,
this one, I sent a message to the Daily Mail, said, there's a wedding on, get someone down here now, blah, 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 blah.
I'll be there.
And they went,
worst case scenario,
we love you. NASA,
we've got a binoculars scene and I'm ready to crack the shit.
No, but the binoculars is later because I couldn't see. So they got one of their journalists down and he's like looking at it, going through, and I'm like, I can't see this. So I got the pair of binoculars and that's how the whole thing started. And they wrote this big story about
it. Very active on Instagram. This is the part that we like to call NASA's slightly suspect intervention to my friend who's only 21 on Instagram. Ooh. So you sent a message to my friend. She's 21. How old are you again?
52.
52. Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay. Big age gap. Yeah. You slid into her DM saying, wow, with a love heart. And then she messaged you back saying, hey, who's this? And you said, you messaged me.
Yeah, well,
and then she said, no, you messaged me and sent the screenshot. They're like, no, I didn't. No. It must have been a hack.
Yeah, it was a hack. I mean, I'm I'm a celebrity, for God's sake. I don't go for, you know, for people unknown. I mean, I don't do a love heart and put wow to just random
girls. So that wasn't
girls.
You. That was not you.
No, that was not me.
It was a hacked account.
It was a hacked account.
You didn't
bloody
send wow no, with I a love send, heart to a chick who lives very similar to you.
Do you know how many messages I get from lovely females around Australia?
Well, not many, clearly, because you're messaging my 21-year-old friend. We're not making it up. The Instagram screenshots are on the Daddy Lakey Late Show story right now. Let's have a listen to this.
God, you've got everything. You people are evil.
Well, tell us the story behind this, because this was actually quiet. This was actually pretty cool.
This is the life that I lead. I'm on a plane, getting flown to the Gold Coast to surprise a radio announcer because she's such a big fan of me.
So that was really recent. I mean, that's pretty cool. So there's a Gold Coast radio show.
Gold
big
FM.
Fan.
Yeah.
And flying you across.
Yeah, and went up there and I thought, you know, have to surprise the girl that was working there and camera.
How would they fly you to the Gold Coast?
I know. See, we rang the Gold Coast breakfast show before and they said that they didn't fly you to the Gold Coast. You were already flying there.
You slid into
their DMs asking and begging to be on the show.
Seriously, why would a celebrity pay for his ways around the country? I mean, if you need NASA, if you want NASA, you got to pay for NASA. You don't get NASA for free.
NASA was paying to come. That's what they said. And it'd be reason to lie to us.
Come on. This is outrageous. I mean,
it's not outrageous.
It's This is a little Bow Wow 2.0. This is him on a Jetstar flight, so this is the life I lead. And you're paid to go interstate.
I even got him a cheap ticket. It wasn't even like, you know, I was so nice. I said, look, we'll just take this cheap ticket.
Okay, this is good listening.
I can't believe this. This is totally
amazing. I can very much believe this now. It makes a whole lot more sense.
You are smart. I didn't expect, why didn't you warn me about this? Usually I go and do interviews and I'm like, I know what to talk about. Now, this is just random shit.
This is the NASA intervention. Were the one who slid into our DMs and asked to be on the show, mate. So this is what's happening.
God, another one. Oh, my God.
We have the evidence.
He's throwing you under the bus.
You're really throwing me under the bus here.
We'll take the screenshots and put them up on the Instagram right now. It's very easy.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Have a listen to this.
Is this Facebook and Instagram? Is it? Oh, cool. I'm here for... It's NASA from Married at First Sight. I'm here for my blue tick. Can I come up and get verified, please?
Why are you so thirsty for your blue tick, you silly man?
What does the blue tick mean? Like, what does it give you?
Let me explain. When we finished the show, or when we were doing the show, Channel 9 helped everybody get a blue tick, right? So I didn't have an iPhone, obviously, which I had this Nokia old phone. So I didn't have an account, an Instagram account. So anyway, finally
You're
got an account.
You're not using that nowadays, are you?
Well, I use both. Okay. You know, one for end and send and one for messaging you guys. And when you guys want me to be on your show, you message me through this.
Yeah, which never happened. We never wanted you on the show.
So I thought, look, everyone's got it. So I applied 14 times to Instagram and knock back. But Instagram doesn't tell you why they're knocking you back. So I did a bit of research. So Lord and behold, this lady.
Lo and behold.
This lady with a baby was going into the lift and I said, you don't happen to go up to Instagram and Facebook office? He goes, yeah, I am. I'm going up there. I work up there. I said, thank God, because I forgot my swipe. Can I come up with you? And if they ask, just say we're lovers or
you've
something.
You've tricked a woman with a brand new baby. Vanessa, you've done a lot of things, but that's terrible.
And she agreed. So we went up there and I walked in there and everyone's sort of looking at me going, who is this guy? Took photos. A girl came out and I said, look, I'm here. I want to be verified. This is outrageous. I'm a celebrity. You need to give me the blue tick, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they called security and security escorted me out.
Yeah, but that is all the what. You still didn't answer why. Why so thirsty for the blue tick?
Because you know, blue tick, it gives you that sort of like status, like you're a somebody, like you're important, you know, and I want it to be important, and I am important, and we're all the others.
It's just Instagram.
Yeah, but it's not the point.
NASA, this whole time, I honestly thought this was all an act. I thought this is just a whole act. This is a real thing.
This is a real thing.
You 100% believe all this blue tick nonsense.
I'm Australia's favourite celebrity, and I deserve to be recognised as, like, Australia's favourite celebrity. So I need the blue tick. So when I got the blue tick, it was like mayhem. Tina texts me at 6 in the morning. She goes, oh, my God, you just got the blue tick. And I went, no, you're joking.
How does it happen? Do they go onto your Instagram?
They just put it on,
It's on there right now.
Well, hence the blue tick NASA-approved eco bag that you insisted on sending us. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Some real good quality material.
I hope you're carrying it with pride.
It is under my desk, and it has been since the second it arrived in the Danny Lakey Late Show mailbox.
Here you are.
Yeah, there he is. 30,000 followers.
I'm telling you, it's there like it you know, it's like the devil has lifted off my shoulder now. Now I can walk proud, and I can say I've got a blue tick. I'm verified, for God's sake.
Interesting. Well, NASA Sultan, it's been fascinating to have you in. The only celebrity who has asked us four times to come on the show. Love your tenacity. Love that getting knocked back three times didn't put you off to come in.
No. This honestly, hey, thanks for having me. Honestly,
thank you for coming in.
And if you want host. You know, like a co-host every now and then. Just
positions
have been
full. Positions are full.
Are you sure?
And will continue to be full.
Are you sure?
Forever until this time.
Are you
out.
Sure?
Yeah.
Not even one smidgen of a...
Like absolutely
a,
not.
Not even like a hello, like go through the window.
Absolutely not. This is the last time you'll ever hear NASA Sultan on the Danny Lakey Late Show. Oh, but thank you for coming in.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Across a Reddit article today. So it's titled, what were the weird things that went on in your household as a child that you didn't realise were very weird in your household? And there sort of was a bit of a subreddit that came off that. Creative ways parents got to punish their kids. And so these new generation of people on Reddit, they say, well, my mum and dad, they used to do this or they used to do this if I was a naughty boy or a naughty girl. And, I mean, there were some corkers on there. There was one where if this girl was naughty, she said that her parents would chuck a whole heap of Smarties out in the back garden, sort of all in a bit of a pile whilst it was pissing down rain. They'd sticky tape a baseball mitt to her hand and throw her outside, and she couldn't come back in until she got every Smartie with the baseball.
It would take hours. That's so cruel.
Well, it was a different era back then, wasn't it?
We just had the classic wash your mouth out with soap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Franco would chase me around the house going, I'll wash your mouth out with soap.
Well, I don't mind it because it's an oldie, it's a goodie, it's a classic. But Franco was never known for his creative thinking. It doesn't surprise me.
Say that to his face, Lakey.
Oh, he'd wash my mouth out with a bit of soap as well. I like it when a parent goes, let's go outside the norm here. And so before they think about what they've done, let us think about what we're going to do to them. There was another one on there where a child had to go against the wall and they'd have to put their nose would need to rest on the wall, but there'd be a magazine between them and the wall, and they'd need to lean there for 30 minutes. And if the magazine fell down, okay, they've lost, you know, their attention span and moved their face a little bit. Timer starts again.
Oh, that's like weights for your nose as well.
Yeah.
You're putting that in there hard.
Imagine like an 8-year-old kid just having to focus for 30 minutes.
2 minutes is hard for an 8-year-old.
A little form of mild torture, I say. One of the best ones that I came across was, and I believe it's an old Chinese tradition. Well, who's the Redditor that said it? Oh, yeah, Next Gen Jujutsu. So, yeah, some sort of Asian Redditor. Where he or she would have to kneel in the corner on uncooked rice and think about what they'd done.
For how long?
Well, who knows? It's hard to even put yourself in those shoes to imagine how painful it would be.
I reckon that would be like when you stand on a piece of Lego, like that kind of, sort of pain. Yeah,
hundreds of little mini micro Legos in each knee. Well, we thought on 131060, not only will we ask, what are your creative punishments that you know?
Go to your room!
What creative punishments did your parents come up with?
We will also get me in the corner of the studio on Instagram Live kneeling on some rice. Crazy. Just to see like how much it does or does not hurt.
I'm excited for this. I hope it hurts.
Well, we've got two nice little generous patches of Australian jasmine rice, which is great because I want my knees to at least smell fragrant. If it is painful, I'll give you the pain.
Those are the hard, longer kind of ones.
Yeah, they are. Uncooked, obviously. Don't do it with cooked rice. That's not going to work. It's going to be very counterintuitive. I'm going to go on the rice now. I'll put my microphone down there, so hopefully we'll hear the crunch. And I'll give you a pain rating out of 10, just in case there are any parents out there considering doing it to their children. All right, here we go. First knee's going on. Oh, and second knee's going on. Oh.
How does it feel?
Look, right. No, I think this is a great punishment for 10 to 12-year-olds.
Is it sore for you?
It's sore, and it will become sorer over the next few minutes.
That's what I reckon,
it's
the longer.
It's not instant jabbing Lego pain, but this is ongoing, slow burning, as much mental endurance as physical.
And also, I reckon when you move a tiny bit, there will just be one little bead that will get right in there.
You're right. And the more pressure I'm putting down, the more the rice... Ow! Ooh, okay, no. Now they're... Jeez, the Chinese are good, aren't they? They know their tortures. Oh, yeah, it's a real slow burn.
The longer
burner.
You're there...
It's etching into my knees. I will stay like this until we come back on air to give a true representation of how accurate or inaccurate it is to perform on children at 131060.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Broadcasting live in the corner of the studio at the moment, which can only be described as the Chinese torture chamber section of the studio. I'm kneeling on two piles of Australian jasmine rice, uncooked. This is all to do with creative ways that parents punish their kids or creative ways that you are punishing your kid right now. Long gone are the smacking days. And can I just say that this rice technique is great for a wayward 13 or 14-year-old kid.
You're battling.
I really am. It's because it's funny how your body goes into a different sort of state because I don't want to put pressure on my knees. So I'm experiencing all these muscles that I've never used in my lower back. It's grinding me down mentally and it's not a good... Can I get up? I'm not going to be able to concentrate. Ow! On the calls otherwise.
I want to see
That's a good seven. Oh. That's a good 7 minutes in the Chinese rice torture chamber. Look at that. They are right in me kneecaps. You're going to have to
They're
get the tweezers.
Right. No, I will not be helping you with those, sorry.
That ain't 1060. Creative punishments. We're doing that.
Go to your room.
What creative punishments did your parents come up with?
My God. My niece.
Yeah, they look bright red. And there's a lot of rice you're going to have to clean up here, Lakey.
Not a bad torture method, by the way, for discipline. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Better than a smack for anyone over the age of 11. Probably recommended to do it on carpet. I think that would be a whole nother game if we were doing that on tiles right now.
Oh,
the
no.
rice would not be giving way. 13, 10, 60. Eva in Melbourne. You used to have to do something when you were little. Your parents got creative?
Yes.
Elaborate.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, elaborate.
I was asked to kneel in a mung bean. I don't know if you guys, it's more, shorter than the rice, but more fatter.
Yeah, right.
Oh, like the raw mung bean, kind of like the shape of like a cannellini bean.
Yeah, it's smaller. It's smaller than maybe half size of the jasmine rice.
How many beans are you looking at per kneecap? Just the singular bean?
I know, it's a lot of beans.
A lot of beans.
You know, you put a lot of beans. You kneel that, you kneel in the mung beans with your hands up.
Yeah, and being someone who is fresh out of the Chinese rice torture chamber, I can already feel my knees quaking at the very thought of a couple of mung beans between both caps.
Maybe we try that next,
Different sensation, but painful, I can confirm nonetheless. Chloe in Melbourne, a creative way that you got punished?
Hey, so when I was, 11, my mom, if I ever told a lie, she would give me, three, depending on how bad the lie was, she'd give me three, red hot chilies to just chomp down.
I like that the lie scale is running parallel to the Scoville scale. The more vicious the lie, the more vicious the chili. It's
and
great.
Then, if it was a really bad thing that I did, the belt came out, had the wooden spoon, it was all going on.
It's a different time now, kids. Ha ha ha. Samantha in Melbourne, what was the creative way that you got punished?
Well, I've got five sisters, and my mum had three of us, and I was the youngest. So I always thought that I could get something over on her, and she was asleep. And I dribbled on her while she was sleeping. I didn't expect that I actually was supposed to land on her, and it did, and I ran down the stairs. And I thought, I've got a scot-free. She's not going to chase me around the garden. And I walked up the stairs, and she threw a big, gigantic bucket of water all over me, and I just went numb.
Nice.
Deserved she it. Wins.
It's a whole lot more dribble. A lot of it at the end.
Oh, no, I was soaked and I just knew she won.
I love that image of a cheeky kid. Same. Just doing one, they think they can suck it back up. They're just too heavy at the end.
I really thought I could, and she didn't go to any extent. She waited and she waited and she waited, and the timing was right, and I paid.
Real calculated. Yeah, nice work.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Your commercial FM hits are taking a break for 30 minutes. You can't justify this. What are we going to do instead? It's FM radio, as you've never heard it before. The mics will be on. The phone lines will be open. And the music will be gone. 5, 4, 3, 2. The Danny Lakey Late Show presents 1. Talk Back Tuesday.
Whoa, what's that sound? Just the sound of the fourth wall smashing. Oh, what's that sound? Just a glass ceiling shattering above me. Talk Back Radio on Commercial FM.
What?
If you get on the show, you get yourself a prize. Talk about what you want, not what I want. Peter in Hobart. Hello.
Hola, Daniel. How are you?
Very nice, thank you. Only my mother calls me Daniel when she's very upset with me. I like this headline. It's got here that Peter from Hobart wants to tell you how to make new friends quickly. Well, that's something we could all learn, Pete.
Well, once again, I missed out on the bandwagon of writing a book about alienating people, so I thought I'd talk about my experiences of moving around with work a fair bit and different options you have to make new friends.
Okay. What's...
So, for
someone like me, this is very relatable for me because I have to move a lot with the job of radio. I've been in four different cities in 4 years and have shit all friends now.
No way. I actually thought you'd be based in the same bloody radio ivory tower your whole time.
Nah. Got to change, mate. Got to work yourself around. Got to do your apprenticeships regionally and then move to the big smoke.
Do you think it's like character building? Like, then I moved around lots of schools as a kid, right? So I had to make new friends quite quickly. Seven schools in bloody in 7 years, and so I figured the best way to make friends as a primary schooler was to be non-threatening and funny. That was probably the best way to go.
Yeah, interesting. I often think that the non-threatening is a big one and are constantly battling with whether I should shave the beard off my face because I think people are a bit too intimidated by it. It's hard to make friends with the beard.
I disagree. There's a lot of guys out there who don't have the ability to grow a beard, and you're almost like you're smacking them in the face with your... Like, it's a gift. You should cherish it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm a true alpha male. Yeah, nice.
Also, apparently, according to Cosmo studies, 63% of women like a man with a beard. So, I don't know, I think you should keep it.
Look, this is a man who I've immediately warmed to. And don't be surprised, Peter, if you receive a couple of dick pics from me asking you to be my friend after this all wraps up, because you're very charismatic.
Maximum zoom, right? I can see it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You'll select all three pixels of the bloody thing.
On Talkback Tuesday, on the Danny Lakey Late Show, if you've got something to say, give us a ring. 131060.
Adam in Sydney. Hello,
mate.
You got the post-holiday blues.
I do.
Where'd you go? How long you been back?
I've been travelling Bali for a month. I've been hopping around, surfing and partying. I don't normally sound like this. I'm only just starting to get my voice back. it was definitely a good trip. Mm. I was travelling solo, met many people on the way, and now I've only got the blues because I flew in today. Mm. I've got to go to work tomorrow.
Is there that sort of impending feeling of how is real life going to get back on track here? Like, how boring and shit and vanilla does this seem now?
Do you know what? I was that much in post-holiday blues today. I booked another flight to go to Vietnam in November.
Oh, there we go. That's a man who...
The only way to get over it.
Yeah. I'll keep travelling, man.
They say you should always book your next holiday before you go on one. Yeah. And you've always got something to look forward to.
That's a good tip. That is a good tip.
On Talkback Tuesday on the Danny Lakey Late Show, if you've got something to say, give us a ring. 131060.
If you want to get on Talkback Tuesday, everyone gets a prize. Not only Adam and Peter, but also you, Huss, the Hussman.
Hey, Danny, how you going, mate?
Good, thank you. You're a 28-year-old man from Melbourne. You're right in the sweet spot for good pickup lines.
That's right. I just wanted to ask you a question, though. Do you reckon we should still start talking to girls with a pickup line?
Well, I've actually been working on a secret project where I'll go up to ladies in the park in the middle of the day and just try and have genuine conversation. So I'm sort of like following more the method of it needs to be genuine and from the heart rather than, oh, is your dad a baker? Nice buns. That kind of stuff. But I do remember a couple of months ago when we were talking about the New South Wales 65-year-old TAFE GILF. And one man said, if they're smoking a cigarette, you need to go up to them and say, excuse me, you're smoking? And they'll go, yeah. And they go, no, you are smoking. And I quite like that. I always think of that one when I see someone smoking. What do you think?
I like that one. I might use it, actually. Yeah,
it's not bad. The key is saying it first time like they're smoking a cigarette and then make it clear the second time that, no, they're just very attractive. Yeah.
I get you. Yeah. Classy.
Yeah. Do you have a golden one, or are you still teetering on the fence of whether to be open, true, from the heart and yourself, or just
I've
go online
got a
and
few, find
it? Yeah.
But some of them are mainly like a jokey type, and I think girls are over that type.
Yeah, I think so. I reckon Tinder has ironically ruined it.
That's so true.
Yeah. The pickup line has never had a lower share price than it has right now. Sell the pickup lines, I say. Thanks for the call, 131060.
Got something to say? Give us a ring now, 131060. The Danny Lakey Late Show's Talkback Tuesday.
Dan in Albury.
How you going?
Good, thank you. Look, love the alpha males calling up the show. Would be great if we can get a few fems on as well. But taking nothing away from you, Dan, you just want movie tickets so you can take your missus for dinner.
That's right.
Rules are rules. I heard if I get on the radio, I get movie tickets. I'm now here. Present. Yeah, you got me on technicality there. You twisted my arm.
Yeah?
Yeah, nice. Okay, yeah, I guess so.
Got something to say? Give us a ring now. 131060. The Danny Lakey Late Show's Talk Back Tuesday.
Oh, thank God. A female. Someone with a different chromosome to us. Hello, Abby.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. You're up and about.
I am, unfortunately, been up since 10 a.m. just finished work.
Oh, it was more of like a saying, like you're really excited about the caramilk coming tomorrow.
that as well, but yes, I am. That's why I'm fucking awake. I can't wait.
Yeah. Say, so what's... I never really got on the caramilk bandwagon the last time around. I think it is people getting a little hysterical over a new chocolate, and then that hysteria feeds on someone else's hysteria. Before you know it, you've got two leading females in the office going nuts for caramilk, and then all the other chicks just want to join in. And all of a sudden, everyone's crazy for caramilk, and no one quite knows why. It's not that good.
Girl power, that's it.
And not just girls, but like guys as well. But I think... I'm going to go out on a limb, and I didn't mean to be a shock jock this Tuesday, but caramilk is overrated, and I will happily go through a second season of Cadbury Caramilk without having a block.
Oh, that's your loss, unfortunately. It'll be one extra block for me.
How many blocks will you go out and buy for the first time?
Well, probably maybe five.
Five blocks?
Five for every day of the week. I'll eat one block a day.
Yeah, well, living your best.
Yeah.
Living your best.
Dedicated.
Shuey Louie's excited for it as well.
This is Talk Back Tuesday on the Danny Lakey Late Show.
Tani in Newcastle. Hello.
Hello.
Can I just ask, who did you speak to off the air, Shuey Louie or the Shy Guy?
Shuey Louie.
Interesting. Because she has spelt here what you're talking about, N-A-S-A. And I'd be very surprised if you're here to talk about the International Space Organization, NASA, and more probably on the terms of talking about NASA Sultan, who we had on earlier tonight, the tragic man from Married at First Sight, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, great. That's really slipped through. I think on everything that she's had to write down the text NASA over the past week, I've got on my sheet here NASA Part 1, NASA Part 2, NASA Part 3. N-A-S-S-E-R. Ironically, the fact that Shuey Louie doesn't know how to spell NASA's name shows how much of an E-grade celebrity he really is.
That's exactly right.
Did you listen to the chat earlier, and what have you got to say?
I did. I listened to it while I was at work, and I just wanted to say I literally wanted to turn my radio off because he is like a space cadet. Like,
we talked about it afterwards once he left. I think he would have walked down the building going, yeah, pretty good chat there. Yeah, I think they really like me.
I'm so glad you guys called him out on his BS because he is so up himself. I just shook my head.
But part of me just goes, how great to be blissfully unaware of how ridiculous you are. Because I honestly thought it was all an act, but you see the man up close. This is a guy who's built a force field around himself to just not hear insults and lives in a world where he legitimately is an A-grade Australian celebrity. It's fascinating to be in the presence of, to be honest.
It's so weird. It blows my mind.
We've got a video up on the Instagram right now, the Danny Lakey Late Show. We stitched him up, multiple times, but we got the audio geezer to pretend that he was an absolute fanboy and came to take a selfie with NASA. And NASA sort of was a bit surprised, but then kept it going that, oh, yeah, this happens to me all the time. And then we called him out saying, no, that's just the audio geezer. We've told him to just do that.
I think he just believes his own lies. Like, he just thinks he's all that, and he's really not.
He's not. The Full Uncut podcast, that is on the Danny Lakey Late Show and the HIT app as well. Martha in Brisbane, wrap up, talk, back, choose, day.
Hello, how you going?
Yeah, blissful. Just had a protein shake and my BCAAs. I'm going to the gym after work. I'm feeling a little queasy, but it'll be all right. All the blood will go to my other muscles soon.
Wonderful. Well, my lovely fiance and I are going to get married in February, and I didn't realize how interested everybody was in all of our wedding plans. And
really?
Oh. No idea. The moment we announced we got engaged, I said, when you're having kids, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's not on the list of things we have to do.
So what are people actually excited for about the wedding? Like what colour your dress is going to be?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're saying, okay, how big's the cake? When's the bouquet toss?
Really?
What's the dress going to look like? How expensive is it going to be? What? All in good fun. But, mate, it's like we're not wanting to be in the limelight. It'll be really small and, you know, they'll say, well, make sure that you invite us so my kids can wear their nice shoes. And I thought, well, I don't know if that's on the itinerary of things for me to worry about.
What a fascinating circle of friends you have.
This is Talk Back Tuesday on the Danny Lakey Late Show.
And I reckon that'll wrap it up. Congratulations. There's a wedding gift here from everyone at the Danny Lakey Late Show. We'll award you with some Crafters Union wines. You can enjoy delicious and beautifully designed Crafters Union wines available in major retailers. It can go with your cake and look great with your dress. It's going to be great with the flowers.
Wonderful. Thank you.
No worries. Congratulations. Seriously.
Thank you.
I can only hope one day I find myself.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
No. Welcome to today's Danny Lakey Late Show exchange student.
Guido. Yeah, I'm from Chile. Our capital is Santiago, so in the middle of the Chile.
Yeah, there we go. For people who are just joining us, we do have a cultural exchange program going on at the Danny Lakey Late Show every Wednesday. We welcome tonight Guido, all the way from Chile. He is from the Chile, in the middle, in Santiago. Very much enjoying his time here. Guido, may I ask you, out of 10, how aware are you of Cadbury Caramilk?
I love him.
Cadbury Caramilk Chocolate. This caramel chocolate.
That?
Have you seen? Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course he's seen it.
It's going viral.
So Caramilk dropped again today, season 2. Were you all about the Caramilk Chocolate this time?
Oh, you know I love all things sweet, but this one, this drop, I'm going to be buying bulk. Hundreds of them.
Going to call it. Maybe a little overrated. Now, people love jumping on a bandwagon.
No, there is no in between white and milk chocolate. Like, this is the perfect. Do you know what it tastes like? It tastes like a can of condensed caramel. Like, I would guzzle that. I'd literally just pour it in. If you could melt caramel, I'd just be like,
Lindor. Lindor.
Oh, yes, also great chocolate.
Yep, great cultural exchange there from Guido with the Lindor. What I will rebut you there is to say, yes, you hear that all the time, the caramel chocolate. Oh, it tastes like condensed milk. Oh, it tastes like condensed caramel. Gorgeous. We don't see people buying condensed milk and drinking it, do you?
Well, I might do that from now on.
Oh, whatever. So Caramilk's come out. They've also dropped a collaboration with Philadelphia Cream Cheese Spread.
That is
the caramel flavoured Philadelphia cream cheese spread.
Is that meant to be sweet or savoury?
Who knows? Who knows?
I'll be trying it though.
And funnily enough, Caramilk, they're really milking this for all it's worth. They've actually teamed up with another product to create a third Caramilk theme inspired product.
Have they?
Within the same day. It's unbelievable.
Australia's most overrated chocolate bar. Teams up with the weirdest products sold from an infomercial. Introducing the Caramilky Foot. 50% intense in-home exfoliation treatment and 50% Cadbury Caramilk chocolate. Leave your feet feeling soft, beautiful and rejuvenated and sticky and smelling of condensed milk with our contoured-fitting socks for easy application. No effort required. No tiresome use of sandpaper for those crusty heels. No embarrassing balms or messy ointments. Just wear the plastic socks coating your feet in our top-secret Caramilky mix for 15 minutes and within 3 to 5 days, peel off the dry, flaky Caramilky skin, revealing soft, feathery feet. My feet are silky smooth thanks to Caramilky Foot, and I now feel confident in high heels again.
I love the taste of Caramilky Foot. Once I bathe my feet in the contour socks for 15 minutes, I drink the remaining Caramilky mixture afterwards. It's like a chocolate chewy.
I always loved sucking my wife's toes in the bedroom, and now with the Caramilky Foot, it's taken my foot fetish to a whole new level.
But that's not all. Buy 2 Caramilky Foot products and receive a 3rd Caramilky Foot absolutely free.
Caramilky Foot. Foot. Foot.
Now
now for $19.95 plus postage and handling.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
On the Danny Lakey Late Show around the country.
The following content is of an adult nature, and it may make some listeners blush, say, oh my God, or even cause offence. Feel free to turn the radio down in 3, 2, 1.
Brought to you by drnickyshop.com.au. 10% off all purchases when you type Danny at the checkout.
Hello, Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
Hello, Danny Lakey.
I always thought there were two types of lubes, and canola oil.
Or
but
saliva.
It seems that there are more.
Now, I bought you a little sampler pack.
Great. How many lubes are in there?
There is 4, right?
Here we go, lubey light.
Is this going to distract from the break at all?
Yeah, also say Shilly goes Luby light.
Here we go, Luby.
Here we go, loop de loop. Okay, should I have to talk over this so we have like that as a background music?
All right.
Like the lube that I've got. Okay, so I'm very passionate about lubes. I feel like lubes are the underdog, right? People don't normally promote this as the thing that you need for sexual pleasure.
Well, there's a little bit of a... You need lube, do you? They call me the human lubricator. Must not be as good in the bedroom as I am, because you wouldn't need it then.
Yeah, but come on, let's have a look at the fact that we're all aiming to have sex longer, faster.
Harder
longer,
and
faster,
stronger.
Harder, right? And you don't want to be tearing certain areas of your body. You want things to be gliding. But you also need to be looking at the ingredients that you're putting into your body, right? So I decided to give you a bit of an educational lesson on the different types of lube available. Now, the first one that you need to understand, woo, I'm dropping them everywhere.
Oh,
it's raining
God.
Lube.
The lubes are lubed up already.
So they're really cute little lube bottles, and we have a little giveaway tonight, so you can choose who gets their little lube sampler.
They are cute. I love many things.
So these ones are by a company called Pure, P-J-U-R.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So you've got the difference between water-based and silicone. Now, the silicone one we have tonight is called Backdoor. Any guesses what that
I know
one
what
should
that's
be used
for?
What, Chewy Louie? Enlighten us, please.
The behind.
Oh, the behind.
The old chocolate duck. The poop shoot.
Now,
the pepper patch.
The poop shoot does not have a self-lubricating function, right? So it's really important because often anal sex too, there is a lot more friction and tearing, that you have a lubricant that is silicone-based that is thicker, right? So this is really going to hold its moisture. So this will reduce any type of tearing, make things glide a lot easier. However, when it comes to other types of sex, e.g. vaginal sex, you also need to be careful about what you're using in addition. So if you were just having penis-vagina sex and we're not using any other products with it, then silicone is more than fine. However, if you're also using a product, so a sex toy, and it's made from silicone, then you shouldn't use a silicone lube. Right? Silicone and silicone, no go. So that's why you need a water base. So we have another little one here, one of their best sellers, which is the original. Right? Now, this is a silicone one. I have another. Okay. The woman one, this is a water based. Now, a water base is going to be light in texture. You're a textures man.
I am a textures man.
Okay. So this will dry quicker. However, because it's water based, this is a trick. If you have some water on the bedside table, and it's starting to go a little dry, you put your hand in and you flick a little bit over the area, it will actually bring the moisture back to life.
Spreads. That's like Nuru Gel when I was at the swingers club that time.
Oh, we saw no. You don't need to know this.
No, there was an overweight couple and they didn't get the memo that you need to use water with the Nuru Gel, and they were literally like sticking to each other.
Yeah.
Whereas me and my girlfriend were like a couple of alpine skiers at the Winter Olympics, slipping and sliding around like a couple of sexy dolphins.
Oh, okay. That's a visual I don't need.
Well,
okay.
I'm just adding my
One more thing I'm going to talk about with lubes, okay? I'm one of these people that is big on ingredients. Now, there is a range called the Medi range, and these are made for more sensitive people. So if you do have sensitive skin or you do tend to get something like thrush more often, then you should be looking for something that is glycerin and paraben free. I personally think that most lubes should be glycerin and paraben free, but I always think the more or the less ingredients that you have in a lubricant, the better for your body. Okay? So water base, silicone.
Glycerin free.
Glycerin,
silicone
free.
Don't go together.
Exactly. We're learning, kids. Right? Yay. Clips
what would you recommend if we couldn't get our hands on any lubricants, but we had a refrigerator stocked full of margarines, avocado oils, canola spreads?
If you don't have your hands on a lubricant, and this is the big
warning. If you're not using a condom, right, so if you happen to be that fluid bonded with your partner, as they like to call it sometimes, olive oil.
No.
Yes. Nice. I was speaking to a guy.
Sting.
Extra no, virgin, of course.
It doesn't sting because it doesn't sting. And according to this one particular gynecologist, olive oil is very good to be using. Someone once said coconut oil, but this particular doctor said no to the coconut oil, but to the olive oil. But you can't use that with a condom because the oil can actually break down the condom.
And it's not paraben free.
I won't be using olive oil.
No, it isn't. There's some parabens in virgin olive oil.
Yeah, I know. It's paraben.
What virgin olive oil are you eating?
All right. Pro paraben virgin olive oil.
I wouldn't even know what's in your pantry.
131060. If you've got a question for Dr. Nikki Goldstein, not only will she answer it, we'll also be awarding the best question some free lubricant.
Very shiny.
Hey!
I think Shuey Louie's going to steal this little sample tonight.
Well, you better prepare yourself a question, Shuey Louie, because there's hot competition tonight for the lube.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Dr. Nikki Goldstein. Brought to you by drnikkishop.com.au. 10% off all purchases when you type Danny at the checkout.
Struggling in the dating scene? Pubic hair dry and unruly? Dr. Nikki Goldstein is here to help.
With your pubic hair?
Well, nothing's off the table.
Yeah, true. No, I hope not. Use some nice conditioner if it's rough.
Head and shoulders. They need to make one for your pubes called Hips and Pubis.
Yeah, I think there's a good business idea for you. Danny Lakey's pubic shampoo.
Shotgun. Veronica in Melbourne. What's your question to Dr. Nikki Goldstein?
Hi, Dr. Nikki. I've got some patients that are postmenopausal, secondary to chemotherapy and things like that, suffer extreme vaginal dryness for fluid bonded couples. And just the water-based lubricants haven't been good enough for them. And they're often too embarrassed to talk to their oncologists and things like that. So they're not, you know, immunocompromised at all. And I was just wondering if something like Backdoor would be suitable for them.
Well, I wouldn't actually suggest the Backdoor, but Pure has a med range. So there's different variations within that, and they're research-backed. So I had a quick look as to the specific research, but this one was with the Melbourne Royal Women's Hospital. So there is some research to say that by using particular types of lube in the med range, that they were able to start to regenerate the cells in the vaginal canal. So I would definitely look within that. There's some different options. People are more sensitive than others. There's vegan options. But definitely in that med range, this is what it is specifically designed for. And this is what I think we need, because there are a lot of people out there that are postmenopausal that have gone through something like chemotherapy that still want to be sexual but find it very difficult. So I think for some people it's a matter of experimenting with those different options, and you can buy them in smaller bottles as well to start off with, but I would definitely be directing them towards the med range.
Okay, definitely will. All the ladies I know are actually carnivores, so not vegan, so
there we go
for the rest. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your help.
No worries. And I'm no medical expert, but I assume that's paraben-free as well.
Yes, no, these are the ones that are made for sensitive skin, but they're also made for extra lubrication.
Don't you also love it when you figure out that there's such a thing called vegan lube? And then you sort of got to think, well, are you even vegan unless you're using vegan lube? How good is it calling out vegans who realise all of a sudden they haven't been as vegan as they really could be?
Well, you can get vegan exercise clothes, vegan shoes.
Are you even vegan if you're not exercising in vegan Lorna Jane and having sex with vegan lube? Joey in Melbourne, what's your question to Dr. Nikki Goldstein?
G'day. So my question is, what can happen to you if you consume or if you happen to eat lubricant? Or is it good for you, or what's going to happen to you?
Squelchy wet strawberry farts.
Well, first of all, I'd like to know, how much lubricant are we talking about in terms of ingesting? Like, is this spoonfuls, or this just happened to get some in my mouth during oral sex?
Afternoon snack.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it depends. Like, say if you're, you know, having some oral sex and goes in your mouth and you end up consuming quite a bit,
And yeah,
exactly. I think Joey's got a little bit on the side as well, like an ultra marathon runner with those little energy gels. So just squeezing the tube into his mouth when he gets fatigued.
But this is what I was trying to establish. Like, if it's a little bit from oral sex, and there's nothing wrong with ingesting the lube, especially with a lot of these lubes that don't have any paraben and glycerin, if they're good enough to put in a woman's vagina, then they're good enough to ingest. But I wouldn't definitely go suggesting squirting it into your mouth and eating it on top of ice cream.
Yeah, don't go on the strawberry lubricant diet. That is a complete fat and full of crock, like most diets are.
Strawberry lubricant diet. Yeah. Did that work for you?
No, absolutely not. I am keto.
Of course you've tried it. Was it vegan strawberry lube?
No, it wasn't. Wean yourself off the strawberry lube. Chewing on a banana flavor condom helps.
Oh, those quells the craving.
Quells the craving.
Disgusting.
Well, okay, each their own.
You would be eating those.
Thank you, Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
You're welcome.
Oh, who gets the prize?
Oh, well, you've got to decide. We've got two prizes tonight. You've got the rabbit and you've got the lubricant, or you can combine them together. Well, this is up to you, Danny.
Well, let's call that first lady back who works with the chemo patient. She can have both and she can decide what client she wants to maybe give that. And with the lubricants as well. We'll give both the Maisha Rabbit Vibe by Lady Bond.
And Shuey Louie can have the sample lubes that we were playing with tonight.
Thanks, guys. You're too kind.
Nothing like a secondhand lube.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I'm not going to be the friendly, sort of hard on my sleeve, charismatic dude that I once was. Not after today's performance.
What's happened?
I'm done with being the guy who's full of manners. I'm done with being friendly, Dan.
Are you that guy? I don't think you are that guy.
I'm done with salt of the earth, Danny.
Pretty sure you're not that Danny.
I was in the elevator today. Awkward elevators, as always. A lot of businessmen, 9-to-5 suit and tie people around here on their iPhones and not quite sure how to sort of converse down 15 floors in an elevator. And that's all right. Fine. I'm not asking for super natter and chat. What I was looking to do today, though, is make a stranger's day. And this was a guy, a suit and tie sort of muscly alpha male sort of dude. And he got in the elevator first, and I followed in afterwards. Now, the thing is, if they get in first and I follow in afterwards, just by sort of acting in first and second, I'm now closest to the elevator door. So yep. He's first in, I'm last in. Now
you're kind of standing
I'm
on the
closest
side
to
almost.
The door. Technically, I should then be first out, really, because I'm closest. But I've also sort of got a decision to make. Because I'm closest to the door, I can either go out the elevator door once we get to the ground, or I can sort of take a little step back and go, after you. Because I'm a nice guy.
Very polite.
That's right. Because I believe in politeness and manners. That's what I did. We hit the ground floor, take a little half step back. I look at this alpha male in the eye, I go, after you, mate. You know what he says to me? He takes a step back. Not that he even needed to take a step back because he was already back. And said, no, after you. Making me feel like a right beta male.
That's just rude as well. Like, you've gone out of your way. He didn't need to make this awkward exchange.
He raised me. He did exactly what I did.
I'll raise you after you and raise you and after you.
Well, that's what I had. I had the decision. I'm not going to back down right now.
Don't tell me you said,
out.
After you.
Well, I didn't want to make it all. I could have. It wasn't because I was intimidated by the man. I could have.
Thank God you didn't make a scene.
But I didn't. And I walked down to the elevator all huffed and puffed and frazzled.
Feeling like a little boy.
Yeah.
Waggling his tail between his legs.
The beta male that I always was afraid I was. It's not on. And you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore to anyone.
No
I'm going to go straight
are you
out.
Friendly Dan.
No, I'm not going to feel all self-conscious. That was a bit of a pathetic move there at the end. He basically did exactly what you did, but second, and therefore you had to sort of go first. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to put myself through that.
Okay, it's all right.
I'm going to get out
just
there
one
first.
Time.
No, no, okay. Out the door with polite manners at the elevator.
For 200,000 years, we've been on this planet. In that time, we've learned to use sticks as tools. We've learned to walk upright. And we've even learned to talk. But is there something we don't need anymore? Today, we'll figure out what polite act doesn't need to happen anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a whole list here of things.
You're just
that
sounding
aren't
like
be
a grumpy
anymore.
Old man
no,
now.
No.
Friendly Dan.
Now, you know what? It's 2019. We've came that far as a society. I think there are some manners that are being a bit outdated and clearly being abused in the system. No longer do we need to offer the other person to go out of the elevator door first. Forget about it. We don't need awkward situations like that anymore. It's on the list. Politeness, manners, overrated.
The one that I can think of that springs to mind, someone pulling out a chair for me, not needed. I would literally just fall on my bum.
It's a very old school gentleman move.
Don't be doing that for me, friendly Dan.
Yeah, it's almost patronising, isn't it? Yeah. No, I agree. No longer shall anyone, male or female, pull out a restaurant chair for someone. And that goes the same for car doors. Unless you're a hotel greeting person.
What are they called? A connoisseur?
Chauffeur?
Chauffeur, that's the one.
131060. Jade in Tagra. Hello.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you. What polite, stereotypical mannerism needs to be done?
I don't think people need to say bless you when they sneeze anymore.
They don't? I know, I've said that before.
Me, like
I call down the whole office quite a few times.
No, I think I quite like that one.
People know not to bless me anymore. It's an outdated concept. You know how it was started? Back in the day, a pope encouraged everyone to do it because people were dying of a plague. People aren't dying of the plague anymore.
Well, what do you say when someone sneezes?
Nothing. Why is the sneeze the noise that people need to respond to? If I was to just go, no one's going to go, ooh, excuse you, or bless you. Why is the sneeze the noise that has to get everyone up from there?
No, the pope decided it.
Nah. Old news, pope, I'm afraid. I agree with you, Jade. It's slightly embarrassing even sneezing in the first place. Why highlight it?
Thank you as well, when someone else says thank you.
It's a whole conversation that's not needed, is what that is. Thanks, Jade. Daniel, in Melbourne. What politeness needs to be known
more? How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, thank you. What do you reckon?
Yeah, awkward door holding, especially in, male public bathrooms, like at a club or something.
Absolutely.
I can't stand that, especially when you're finishing up and they've already finished up and they're going to walk out, they hold the door for you, but not realising I still got to dry my hands and stuff, So it's just that whole... You just give them this
lingering
look like, look, don't hold the door for me,
It's because no one is gathered around and put in the Australian Constitution, 9 metres and less, hold the door. 9 metres or more, continue and walk.
Yeah, there's no written rules around it.
There isn't. Some people are washing hands, some people are drying.
Yeah, but there's still like that 5 second awkwardness of like, I'm not finished, brother.
Yeah.
You got to run to the door for them.
Yeah, so you try to make eye contact with them. So you go extra longer just so like they just...
I know. Yeah, we've all been there. I strained a calf muscle yesterday having to get to the door on time.
Sprinting to this man.
I was 84 metres away still.
Yeah. Then you're inclined to, make it to the door, so you rush,
Bloody do-gooders is what they are. Bloody do-gooders. On the way very soon, new Yanny Laurel. Have a listen next. What do your ears decide?
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Well, who could forget, about a year or so ago, the great Yanny Laurel debate.
How did that go again?
That was the ear version of the blue and white versus the black and gold dress. And you'd play the grab that we've got here.
Laurel.
And you'd either hear Yanny or Laurel.
See, I hear Yarl. Like a mix.
You're a hybrid version.
Yeah, but more Laurel.
Your ears need to be fine-tuned a bit. Not only is it amazing when you meet someone who is hearing the opposite word to what you're hearing, it sort of opens up, wow, are we even experiencing the same sort of realities? Oh, God, what's going on? I mean, you see this and hear that. I see this and hear this. We're both here. Mind-blowing. Fantastic little exercise. We then had Brainstorm or Green Needle. This was about 6 months ago. Do you remember this one? Do you remember this? Hear that one?
No, that said Green Needle, though.
See, I'm getting Brainstorm.
No, play it again.
Yeah.
No, that says Green Needle.
I'm getting Brainstorm.
No, I am.
Shaga, what are you getting?
Brainstorm.
You're getting Brainstorm.
Yep. No, I'm the odd one out.
Rude. This is fascinating, isn't it? Isn't that great? You got your Yanny or Laurel?
Laurel.
That's Laurel.
I'm getting Laurel. You getting Laurel there? There'll be some Yannies out there, mark my words. We got the Brainstorm Green Needle. Brainstorm.
No, Green Needle, so crystal clear.
Wow. That was 6 months ago. We've now got a brand new one. I'm really excited about this one. I had to listen to it earlier on today. This is Potato or Thunder.
Okay.
Potato or Thunder. Listening carefully here.
Penis.
See, I'm getting Thunder.
Thunder. Without a doubt.
What are you hearing?
Penis.
I'm getting thunder.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I love you.
Swipe left, swipe right. It's Australia's most love-matched radio segment. The Danny Lakey Radio Show's Radio Tinder.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, I get a shiver down my spine every time we do this because it brings me so much joy knowing that true love may be just around the corner on the airwaves. And Marie Kondo, she said, anything that doesn't bring you joy, throw out. Well, you know, I'm not throwing this out because it does bring me joy, Marie.
Hello.
Hello. Cassie, you are 28 years old and you're tonight's bachelorette.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome to Danny Lakey's Love Dungeon. Where no one gets out without falling in love.
Do you have statistics of that? Or?
Admin assistant is what you are. 20, yes. 26 to 30. That's yes. What you're looking for. Age-wise, yep. And a man. Interesting. This is the part where Shuey Louie comes in and tries to stretch your boundaries.
Go 40. What's 12 years?
26 to 40. Hanging out with friends is what you like. Family-orientated. You like random stuff. Oh, you're random. What kind of random stuff do you like?
Oh, just like going out to theme parks. Very adventurous. Anything outdoors.
That's random.
What's your favourite theme park?
I've got quite a few. I don't really have a favourite.
That's even more random. Looking for someone funny with good banter that can also be serious at times. Oh, yeah, it gets exhausting, doesn't it? Someone just always sort of taking the piss and playing sound effects.
You.
You need some light and shade. Last relationship was 5 years ago.
And what do you look like, Cassie?
I was short. Brown, blonde hair.
Stop it, Lakey.
You got no kids. I won't speak on behalf of everyone, but traditionally, a single man would seek a woman with no kids. I'm not saying that it's a total deal breaker.
No, some people want to, you know, merge families if they've got kids as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If a man's got kids, yeah, he does want kids. But if you probably don't want a man with kids, Cassie, do you?
Oh, I don't have a preference.
Yeah, makes me look like a bit of a dick.
Take what she can get.
Okay, well, cool. What was your last relationship like and why didn't it work out?
It just didn't work out. We were together for 7.5 years. Guess we were just young. Didn't work out.
How many sexual partners have you had since this?
It's very invasive.
Roughly.
Don't feel obliged to answer that, Cassie.
Roughly.
I'm not going to answer that question.
Roughly, because if you're 28, I've done the math, 5 years before, 23, so it's essentially she's been in a relationship since she was 16 to 23, probably lost her V-plates to that guy, so it's interesting. Are you dealing with someone who's only...
These are just all assumptions from you, Lakey.
Well, it's a different kind of beast, isn't it? Dealing with someone who's only has one sexual partner versus someone who's had 20. Different, isn't it? Tell a lot about the leader. No answering. Interesting. Okay, 13, 10, 60 then, if you want to get to know Cassie a little more. We're going to get the best three dudes in the country. We're going to line them up. We're going to question them one by one. We're going to knock them back down again. Well, two out of the three, and hopefully you can rekindle some love with the third one. Make sure you prepare some good questions for these men. Okay, no worries, Danny Lakey. I'll do just that. 13, 10, 60 if you like the sound of Cassie.
The Danny Lakey Late Show. Radio Tinder.
Yeah, baby.
Well, this is what's known as the golden week for us with Radio Tinder because Batchy has finished and Bachelorette has not started yet. It leaves us in prime position to capitalise on anyone. Want to listen to any dating shows via media, television or radio tonight?
People want to hear the love.
We got to know Cassie just before. 28. Oh, butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. Admin assistant, 26 to 30. We did accept entries from 30 to 40-year-olds as well. Short, bubbly. Loves hanging out with friends, family-orientated. Loves random stuff. Like theme parks.
So random.
Couldn't pick a favourite theme park. Because they're all so good. That's so random as well. Looking for someone funny with good banter that can also be serious. Last relationship was 5 years. Has no kids. Putting it out there, guys. No kids. Yet.
Not a baby mama.
How many kids would you look for with the perfect man 5 years from now, Cassandra?
I don't know, maybe two.
That's good. No need to chuckle at that. You're not being naughty.
Standard.
I might treat myself to two of those.
All right, man number one is a guy who's 27 years old. His name is Toby. Marketing. Average build. Loves the beach. AFL. The gym. Loves hanging with the boys.
Lads.
Toby.
Hey, guys.
Whoa.
The big T.
Whoa.
Toaster.
Geez, save some for the rest of us, Cassandra. What's your question to Toby?
What's your favourite cocktail?
I don't normally drink cocktails. Like, I'm more of a beer guy. But if I have to have a cocktail, it's a bit weird, but probably a Cosmo.
Because I remember I saw it in a cocktail book once, and it's the only thing that comes to mind on me drive home. Oh, that's all right. I mean, to be honest, it might have been a trick question. Do you really want a man who has dabbled in the fine arts of plentiful strawberry daiquiris and sex on the beaches?
Or maybe.
A lot of maybes and I don't knows tonight, and it's really killing my twang. Let's meet man number two. It's Kane, 28 years old. He's labouring. He's got tan skin. Well, he's out in the sun all day, you see. Black hair, covered in tats, 5'9". Likes barbecuing with the boys for fun. Likes playing rugby league and going to the gym as well. Us men are very simple creatures. All we're looking for is someone to spoon by the fireplace. Hello, Kane.
How you going?
Yeah.
Kano.
Not often I get out Alfred on this show. Not often I get out Alfred at all. But he's really locked his buffalo horns onto mine. And I've retreated back into the wilderness. What's your question, Cassie, to Kane?
What's your favourite sex position?
Finally! Where was that during the cocktail hour about 1 minute ago? Jesus!
Don't mind a bit of reverse cowgirl, closely followed by a doggy.
Whoa, yeah! The double!
They're on!
The double!
Kano!
Reverse cowgirl, so I can admire your shoulder blades. And then a bit of doggy.
It's going to be hard, too.
Well, hard sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard reverse cowgirl. None of that soft reverse cowgirl stuff.
You hope not.
Come on! Harder! What do you call yourself? A cowgirl?
Calm down, Lakey.
No, this is good. This has got my twang right back up. Female wild card, Sue. Hello, female wild card, Sue.
Hi, I know that you didn't say that you want a girl, but I thought, like, you just sounded so sexy. I just wondered if you'd be willing or open to girls.
Cassie?
Unfortunately not.
Oh!
See you later,
Sue. What? But she works in admin as well, at a dentist. And she's tall with short blonde hair. And she loves the outdoors and drinks with the gals on a Friday night.
Yeah, no.
Damn it.
See you later, Sue.
It would have been pretty random. It would have been real random.
Take her to the theme park.
Okay, well, who's it going to be, Cassie? Man number one, Toby, 27 years old. Kane, man number two, 28. Or woman number three, female wildcard Sue, wearing her heart on her sleeve.
I think I want to go with man number two, Kane.
Well, that's pretty random if you ask me.
Yeah, you like the reverse cowgirl.
Oh, yes. Kane, do you take Cassie to be your lawfully wedded Lurik Wauk? That's cowgirl in reverse.
Lovely. Awesome.
I'll take it as a yes. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Kane and Cassie sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes Cassie, then comes Kane. There's a bit of reverse cowgirl, and then there's a bit of pain.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.